Hello, welcome to the big show. We're back. The summer recess is over. We have returned to the fold. We are here to do shows. You can put down your withdrawal symptoms. I've had a few emails, which is nice, actually, people saying, when are you coming back? It's been a long time. It has been ages. But we haven't had any internet. That's been the real problem. So we've been trying to do it off dongles. We had a couple of shows off dongles, and the second one, that was just non-starter. But now we have WarwickNet, who provided us with 80 down and 20 up. And it seems to work quite well, but I'm limited to 500 gig a month, so I'll be uploading the shows at home from now on. I won't be doing it here. Jesus, not a chance. Putting them on a little Atomos drive, taking a moment, shove them in, and that's it, away we go. Joining me to discuss the summer of tech that's taking place, so Campson, top left, how you doing, man?
I'm good, yeah, really good. Miss being on Friday night.
Yeah, sorry, boys, but I've been covering that that closure down at Waterloo Station.
Some of the stuff that you've put on from Sentry looks awesome.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Absolutely awesome. The Sentry system has worked beautifully. Sentry's like a camera system that Anders and I have developed. And we've had a lot of comments this last couple of days saying, your system's brilliant. We need to get in touch with you when we're doing the next job. So hopefully we'll get a bit more out of it. Mm-hmm. That'd be nice. But yeah, it's been all right. It's been all right. What have you been up to this summer, then, mate? You did your Leeds half marathon, but we did a show after that, didn't we? Or the Leeds 10K.
Yeah, I did. It was the Leeds 10K, and then I did the York 10K a few weeks after, and thank you, I got loads of BTN support for that, and I raised just £900 for McMillan Cancer Support, so chuffed to bits with that. And I'm just training now, I've got the Yorkshire 10 miler in October.
So
I wanted to do the Yorkshire Marathon, that would be a bit of a stretch, but I missed out on an entry space, I missed out by a few days.
You won't be surprised to find out I've never been a runner. What's the step up from 10k to 10 miles? Because I know it's four miles, but...
10k is 6.2 miles, so it's another 4 miles. It's more about not just increasing the distance, but where you're going to go with your pace. 10k, you can pretty much, at the level I am by no means some of the real hardcore runners. I know what pace I am for 10K. I need to obviously see where I can get 10 mile and try and get my best possible time out of that.
Cool. No, well done, mate.
I'll give it a go.
I'm envious. Well done. Well done. Next to him is Rich. What have you been up to, mate?
I've been up to the opposite, which is training to move as little as is humanly possible at any given moment.
And did you achieve your target, though?
I really am doing well with it. I must admit, I'm very pleased. I've gotten the majority of my daily movements down to just my thumbs on a controller.
Someone needs to do a sofa ring for Apple Watch. Did you close your sofa ring? Yeah, absolutely. No question.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
So, yeah, it's been fun. It's been challenging to move that little, but I'm getting on. I'm getting on with it.
Has the weather favoured you in Yorkshire or not?
As the weather favoured me,
yeah,
I'm not going outside. We've got the heating on right now, for goodness sake.
Have you joking?
Heating?
Seriously, it's cold up here.
It's been a bit shit in England, hasn't it?
Just to say the least, yeah.
I'm not usually a whinger, but it's been pretty bad.
Rich, I'm only, 15 miles from you? I've got windows open. It's boiling down here.
That's not fair.
And I'm sat here in shorts.
We're up in the hills, you see. That's the trouble.
Yeah. And it's an old house, is it?
Well, it is, but it's you know, thick walls and all of that. I've tried drilling through them at various points. They're extremely thick walls, actually. But, yeah, it's just I can see cloud sort of just going by the window because we're that high up. So it does that.
If you're all missed up later, it's not a soft focus effect. It's actually missed.
Yes. It's quite alarming the first time you see it, but you get used to it pretty quick. Yes, what is that? Oh, that's the clouds. Okay. It's just, they're out there.
And last but by no means least, our man in Norwich, the man from the east, the far east. Based on your orangeness later, mate, you are from the far east.
Oh, Jesus Christ, see that?
One of the Norwich three wise men, you do be.
DB boy.
How you doing, mate? I'm all right, mate. A good summer?
A good summer. I just realised, looking at you boys there, I need to don them because it's a glasses night tonight, you know?
It is. Do you wear glasses or not? Or you stole those off the missus?
I just stole them off my daughter. I just want to feel part of the party. Okay. God, I look like a twat.
Well, I've got my new glasses coming, because these are my old ones, my Avanti X that I had. And yeah, these are my driving glasses, which are absolutely awesome. I do love these. They're absolutely great, but they're not great for reading stuff, and they're not brilliant for the screen, because they're built for the car. So I'll be looking at these. These are my on route specs that Hoyer have given me. And they've got a special coating on them that stops all the blue light. So when you're out at night, all the LEDs and that kind of stuff don't dazzle you. And it's they've given me them in July. So the problem I have is I haven't driven with them at night yet.
Oh, so good.
I need to. I'm driving on Tuesday night to go and pick all the cameras up from Waterloo. So I shall use my driving glasses then and see if I can notice a difference. So, they are sweet, nice glasses, and I quite like them as well. I think they suit.
I like the shape of them.
Yeah, I love them. The Avantex are the ones I've got for the DSA, but my Uniku ones are coming. I've been measured for those, and I'm at a Hoyer event on the 8th, and then on the 16th there's the proper launch, so I'll have them on the 16th. There'll be a handing over process, and there's they've asked me to speak at it.
Go for it.
What? Yeah, you're a celebrity guest speaker. Okay, you know I'm not a celebrity, right? And you know I've got very little to say. Well, okay.
Got your blue tick yet, Ewan?
I haven't got my blue tick, no. Maybe if I speak at that, I'll get my blue tick. Maybe that's the entry qualification. I can also get in equity then as well. So. That'd be nice. Right. What's been happening? What's going on? What's the story? Campion's already in there. We talked a little bit about this on Mac's show. Crash plan going down for you, mate. What's are you still wailing and gnashing, or are you got over it yet?
No. I'm disappointed the way that they've done it, but, or I should say, when it first came out, I was disappointed with the way that they've done it. But actually, when I've reflected on it a bit more, I've looked around, I've thought about how I use CrashPlan as a CrashPlan customer at the moment. It's actually not, from my point of view, not too bad a thing. So for people who don't who are not aware of this story and haven't listened to the Mac show before this one, CrashPlan are a consumer cloud backup provider, and essentially what you can do, so they're in the market with a number of others, and you have an app that's installed on your machine, and it does an initial backup of all your local data or any local data you select up into their cloud, and then it does interim backups thereon of any folders that you decide you want backing up. There it is, it's in the cloud, it's off-site for you. And what CrashPlan have announced this week is that they're over the next 18 months, they are phasing out totally the CrashPlan for Home service, so the consumer service, and they're going to focus solely on the small business and enterprise market going forward from that point. And initially I thought, I've been a CrashPlan customer now for about 5 years. I moved to them from Carbonite because I had some horrific experiences with them. More on that in a minute.
Because Carbonite's shit. Ironically, they're recommending.
They are recommending Carbonite. Everything for me from a CrashPlan point of view has been great. And actually, right at this very moment in time, because I had some problems with my Mac over the last week, and I've had to reinstall it from scratch, it's currently in the process of restoring all my data from CrashPlan as we're talking now. So,
how much data is that, and how long is it going to take?
It's 790 gigs in total, and it said 4.5 days when I paused it before we started talking.
That's okay. I know that's a lot of data, but that's 4 days to get to restore your Mac. That's just
Part of that could be my broadband, my fibre speed, because I've been having a few problems with that as well over the last week or so. 4.5 days is what it's saying it's taking.
They've throttled the IP to CrashPlan.
I once had to do that on Carbonite, and I had to restore, and there was nowhere near as much data. I don't know the exact amount, but it was less than 500 gig, and that was saying 3 months.
Carbonite. I had two.
I think they're throttled.
I had 2 1-terabyte drives in my old MacBook Pro, and I'm going back to when it was a 17-inch one, you know, so it's sort of 2009. And I bought Carbonite because I listened to Leo Laporte, and it was great, you know, support Carbonite. And I bought Carbonite. I had it for a year. I paid the £99, and I was just, after a month, it had put virtually nothing in the cloud. And in the whole year I had Carbonite, It never put one driver, not one.
I had the same experience.
Awful.
Exactly the same thing. It just, it never backed up anything. It was a complete waste of time and money.
Yeah. And the thing is with carbonite, I kind of like, well, if you don't want to be in a market, you don't want to be in a market. So fair enough. No one can tell you you have to sell your service to that person. But to then go and recommend something as shit as carbonite, you know, you've sold your soul there, mate. You've definitely taken a bung for that because no one recommends. It's like, it's a carbonite, then below that is Mac Keeper.
Yes.
Oh, God, Jesus, yeah.
Yeah.
No, isn't the idea of a whole drive backup a bit outdated now anyway?
It is. I think we'll come on in a second, Rich, to talk about sort of how we all back up. And I think it's a bit of a public service announcement for everyone listening in terms of put some ideas in terms of best practice as well. But the crash plan for small business, so what crash plan are doing is essentially offering you two ways forward. One is the move to carbonite option, but their preferred is the crash plan that people move over and migrate over to the crash plan for small business plan, which dependent on what you use can be more expensive. So I think I paid for crash plan for the year, I think I paid something like £50-60, something like that. I think it worked out roughly about $80. Whereas the crash plan for small business, that's charged at £10 per month per device.
See, now you look at what you get for that, and if it's a decent upload and download speed, which yours isn't from what you've just described, but that's no more than Photoshop.
Exactly.
So as a small business, £10 a month is zero.
That's £10 a month per machine, isn't it? So if you're running, I don't know, two or three servers and a dozen machines, and you have previously been back on, probably not too many what I've just quoted, but if you're running, you know, like maybe half a dozen machines and you've previously been running off the home plan, then yeah, it's quite a step up in price for you.
But is that a bit old school as well, though? Because I mean, that's the thing I had a problem with carbonite, because it was saying one machine. I'm like, well, I've got 60 terabytes of video here. What the hell am I going to do with one machine? I don't want to back up my machine. My machine's got sod all on it. I mean, the Mac Pro that sat here is a 1 terabyte hard drive, and I've got 496 gigabytes of it free just to do the shows on it. I couldn't give a stuff about storing video and any of that kind of stuff. That all goes on external drives, and none of those plans support external drives anyway. So
to do on USB.
Oh, yippee.
Yeah, they have to be connected. They can't be NAS drives. That's the problem that they've got.
No, I've got six. So what about Thunderbolt then? I've got six Thunderbolt drives.
I think if you're connected, I've said USB, but I think as long as you're connected, I think it's a connected drive. I think it does.
Yeah, no, I just don't. I mean, that wouldn't work. I can't see. And the other thing as well is I haven't got the data transfer down here now. I'm limited to 500 gig a month, so... You know, I've got into a regimen now of doing a backup, a mirrored backup, and then the most recent data that I'm really worried about losing, if those went, I put on a separate drive and I take that home with me after I've shot.
Yeah. So where I was going with this one, I think what CrashPlan have done, if you're a user like me and you've got one, maybe two machines at home, And you've been paying your annual subscription for the Crash Plan for Home plan, actually moving over to the Crash Plan for Small Business isn't such a bad deal. But what they're offering is they've extended your current plan by 2 months, just to give you a little bit of leeway. And then for the next 12 months after that, they've given you a deal of 75% off. So for me, that's going to be, what, £2.50 a month?
Yeah.
For 12 months, which overall is £30 a year.
I thought that was really good to back up
my machine. I think that's a good deal for the next year. That gives me a year to think about what I want to do.
Go on, right.
From that point.
Well, but with that sort of deal, aren't they just trying to hook you in at the point that you say, okay, it's a good deal now, and you get to the point where that year's up and you say, do you know what, I'm just going to stay where I am. It's kind of underhanded in a way, but aren't they doing a lot of 50% deal with like Backblaze or other companies like that?
Yeah, so they're not striking a deal with Backblaze, but Backblaze have been straight on the back of this, right on the front of their webpage within a couple of hours of CrashPlan announcing. They put up an invitation for CrashPlan customers, and actually their deal, $50 a year, includes more things than, surprisingly enough, Carbonite Basic or Carbonite Prime, but that's $50 a year, so that's cheap if you're running a single machine. It's cheaper now than when I took CrashPlan out at that 50.
You just know that Backblaze, the minute this happened, Backblaze went, and someone said to the web, get a headline up, just get a banner up quickly. What do you want to put on the banner? Have you been f***ed by Crash Plan?
I think they were nice enough. I think it was welcome Crash Plan users. I think it's something like that.
It's exactly like welcome Crash Plan users.
Yeah, you just been f***ed and now come to us.
But, my plan now is going to be, I'll migrate over to the Crash Plan for small business, just because it gives me time, and I'll, because that's it's now runs me till probably January, so I might even not need to do that, and I'll probably just head over to Backblaze, let them that back up it over the next however long it takes. I'm not in a particular rush because I'm still protected by Crash Plan, because they've extended me for a further two months for free to give me some time to do it. But if for any reason I didn't want to do that, I can migrate, and I've got 12 months at £2.50 a month. It gives me plenty of time to sort myself out. And that's in addition to all the local backups that I keep.
But that was going back to what Rich said. You know, is this full drive backup an old-fashioned thing? Because I don't at any point do a full drive backup to anything. So I back up to a number of cloud services. I'm a paranoid guy, so I've got a NAS in the house that I back up to now and then. But I just back up the important files. Camps, why do you need like an entire drive backup that takes 3 days to get it back if you need it?
It's really for photos. So I've got a backup of all the photos up there. I have a couple of local backups, and then when I remember, I used to be quite religious. I used to do pretty much monthly. I'm not so good at it now, hence why I'm restoring from the cloud at the minute. But I used to do a backup, particularly of the photo library, and just hive that off to my parents' house once every few weeks, and leave it around there. I got a bit lazy and didn't do that. The reason I do it offsite is, God forbid, you have something like a house fire. That could be my PC and the local drives that I've got in the house all gone in one shot.
Oh, no, I totally agree.
Yeah, for $50 a year for the peace of mind of having it up in the cloud, that's valuable to me.
Because what I've been looking at lately, I use OneDrive, I use iCloud Drive, and I'll go into this in my cool thing later. I've been looking at a lot of Chromebooks lately. Have you tried the backup and sync from Google, what they replace Google Drive with?
No.
So Google Drive, which was obviously just a folder on your PC where you could back up everything within that folder up to the cloud, what you can now do is choose certain folders on your computer. So you can say my desktop, my documents, my photos, and it'll then back all those up in sync to the cloud.
Mm.
And their prices are a lot cheaper than £50 a year. Obviously, you want to keep your photos at kind of high res and that sort of thing. Mm. Obviously, your first 15 gig for free, and then I can't remember what the 2 terabytes is. If you're a Chromebook user, you get your 100 gigs for the first 2 years for free as well. But I found out of all the services I use at the moment, I pay 49 pence a month for OneDrive, which is 100 gig. But that's a grandfather plan. But it's just interesting. The thing is, there are so many, that's the point, I think. There are so many plans out there right now. It's really hard for, like, you know, we know what we want, we know what we want to do, but for normal people, how do they choose?
I just want to say something here, guys, and I can't think of a better analogy for this, so I do apologise ahead of the time for that. Don't write in and complain about what I'm about to say, because I can't think of another analogy. But there are so many stories of the cloud bending you over and beating you senseless. I listen to you guys because I've got nothing in the cloud that I care about. Not a thing. I just don't trust it. And I just don't want them to go, do you know what? We're not doing it anymore. Sorry, fella. Take it away. And I've seen it with Apple, with images. I've seen it with loads of stuff. And I can only just draw an analogy that you lot come back like a battered wife. I'm sorry for drawing that analogy, but I can't think of another one. It's like, you know, you take a beating from these cloud services and it's like you cleanse it from your mind like it doesn't matter and it'll be okay because the next time it'll be different. You know, they won't hit me anymore. And it's not. They come back and they shaft you regularly and you still come back for more. I can't think of another analogy. It's just wrong.
No, mate, it's us who know. Having an offsite backup is a good thing. yes, I'm the battered wife, and I've been burnt by cloud stories before. But you I come have back little cupboard more. That I but I have a little cupboard that I hide in, where I can't get beaten, and I have a NAS that backs up all of my cloud stories stuff that goes up to the cloud locally as well. So I do what you do, as well as the backup.
You're in denial, man. You're in absolute denial.
But no, but what happens, you know, I've got a local backup if I need it. And if the house catches fire, you know, I don't carry drives around and all that sort of thing, but I've got a backup off site. If I go away tonight.
That's what I do.
I've got one on site, one off site.
I've got one at my house and one at my office. And if I didn't have one at my office, I'd have one at my parents. What's the, you know, what?
Do you not find that certain services just take the thought out of this, though? I mean, like, I don't need to back up my music anymore because it's just all in iTunes.
I can't believe anyone's just said taking the thought out of something's a positive.
It really is, though, because it's backup and no one really wants to think about it. You know, it's fun for us to talk about it, but in terms of most people's everyday use, this is the boring side of tech.
Yeah.
And so if there are things that just make things be backed up, that's so much the better.
You've got great programs like ChronoSync that you can schedule your backups and it just does it for you. You haven't even got to think about that. It's just done. It's all queued up ready in the drop-down thing at the top, and it just does it on the 30th of the month. Bang.
Yeah, but that's fine for us. We're nerds. We can do that. Now, if I go back to my time in IT, where someone will come in and they go, here's my laptop, it's got my life's memories on it, and the C drive just failed, and I've lost everything.
That's, hang on, Righty, I'm going to just call you out there, because that's not an issue with the not knowing about cloud storage. That's an issue in putting trust in data, full stop. And you won't solve that by having cloud services, and you won't solve that by having external drives, and you won't solve that by having a third backup up site, because the person's not in the zone of thinking about backing up at all.
Well, you're right. It's the bigger problem. And if they have access to people like me, like you, how many times have you been in a conversation where someone goes, got all these photographs, I don't know what to do with them, and you probably recommended something? You know, not everyone in the world who has access to a nerd knows what to do. Some people are really lucky. We're probably the IT support for all of our families, all of our family's friends, our friends' families, mothers, and all that sort of thing. And they've all got a good backup solution. We've done it. You know, I think with Windows 10, it kind of pushes you to do that, you know, with OneDrive backs a lot of stuff up. Chromebooks are good at that. But the day-to-day people who just don't update the operating system, they're still on Windows 7, Windows XP. Yeah, they don't think about backing up until the critical moment when they lose something. And the thing is, you can't put a price on the stuff that you lose.
But that's what I'm saying. An online service doesn't solve that because they're not in the thought process of backing up at all.
Mm.
So they're almost prehistoric rather than, you know, in the history of getting shafted by online services. And you just all of you get regularly shafted by online services, and you keep coming back for more.
I don't think I've been shafted by them in that. I've never lost anything in there.
Yeah, I've never. There's things like they shut down Google Reader when I was still using it, but that's not the same as, you know, deleting all my photos. You know, there's never been anything like that.
There are a lot of people who used Apple's particular. I mean, I remember I'm going back pre-iPhoto now, and they had stuff stored up in Apple's online system, and it just went. Mm. And a lot of people lost a lot of images, and not untech savvy people. Steve Naber lost images in that, and he was prepared for it. He knew it was coming, and they still stopped him getting to his images.
But there's another reason
for me.
It's
a total back end. It's the last line of defense almost for me. I've got my locals, and I got lazy, and the only reason is that I took a few dozen images about a month back, and put them on my machine. And wiped the SD card. But if that's still the SD card, I wouldn't be restoring from cloud right now.
Yeah. Go on, Roger, you were talking.
So, yeah, so obviously we've just been talking about backups, you know, just backing up and all that sort of thing. The other reason for having, you know, that point of having cloud is that I need my files everywhere. I've got 10, 15 different devices that I use, my phone, different Macs, computers at work. It's that access to those files at any point. you know, obviously my job is all digital, and obviously for work I use 365, and I can turn on any computer, all my files are there at any time. I make a change, it's that synced to all my devices. So it's not just a thing, you know, of just backing up, is that accessibility as well. So that's the reason that I've not been burned by the cloud yet, but I do need it for all that kind of accessibility to my data as well as just the backup.
I do use Apple's iCloud stuff. I've got 2 terabytes on that for $6.99 a month. I'm happy.
Yeah, I do that too.
And
I
quite like the way that it's quite intelligent in the way that it chooses what to store, and it does a pretty good job of it. What it's really missing is selective control over what I want on a computer and what I just want completely in the cloud.
Oh, I've got a lot of stuff I just want up there. It's horrid. I've got one of the old 64 gig MacBook Airs, and iCloud drive is a pain in the ass. Because it'll go, you can download this 10 gig file. No, because I haven't got any space. All you got to do is click on it, downloads it. That is a pain in the ass.
I'm not getting that. I've got at the moment, I'm getting is pretty intelligent. It doesn't, it's got a lot of stuff up there that, you know, I'll get the little cloud symbol that says, do you want to download? And it recognizes the stuff I don't access very often, and it just keeps it in the cloud, and it clears it off all my computers, so it's not hogging the hard drive space. But what I want it to do is say, right, okay, I know I haven't accessed this very much, but I don't want you to store that in the cloud. I want it always to be on my computers, because when I do need to access it, I'm probably going to be remote. I won't have a great cell signal, and I want to make sure I get to it. That's all that service is missing for me. And then I think it's perfect as a cloud system for me.
Yeah, no, that's my problem, because I'll open a project file, whether it be Adobe file or Camtasia file, and it'll go, where are those files? And then it'll start downloading them. Because obviously, you know, things like Camtasia and stuff need the files local on the machine to be able to access them. It doesn't do it in the cloud. So it'll then automatically start downloading things. What I want to do is work wholly in the cloud. So with Office 365, I try to work in the web browser as much as I can, because the sharing options and stuff like that I do at work are much better in the browser than they are on Mac or PC. What I haven't found is one, and like you say, you could get bent over and screwed over in the future. There's not one service that's perfect at the moment. The problem is saying Chromebook.
Then you need a Chromebook, says Don Bronwyn. So there you go. And you've already said Chromebooks could.
Oh, I just bought one, so.
Bronwyn says she likes me lighting. I've got to say, because we've gone from a green screen behind me to a blue screen. We've changed it entirely. I'll just show you the picture. Look, here we go. There's my blue screen. And the blue screen, now we've got more light on it, it keys out way better than the green screen did. So much better. I've got a bit of shimmering in my hair, but that's because my hair is thinning, I think, more than anything. But it keys out really, really well. The only thing I can say is I've got Roy, who's my electrician, and I love Roy. He's brilliant. He's absolutely awesome. But I've got a fan that I wanted from the old place brought down here and put in, and he's put it in. Lovely bloke, thank you. And he said, where do you want me to go with the cable? I said, well, just give me the cable and then come down the conduit that I've got on the light that does the keying on my back there. Bring it out and just stick a socket on it or something, and I can shove it in and out when I want there. And he went, right, okay, fine. So I went off to do a shoot for the gym firm up at their showroom up the road. And I came back, and he put all these holes in, and he put a switch here, a great big frigging switch. I'm like, that's me bloody blue screen, you bastard! And I've got bloody holes all the way down here. I had a switch here, and I thought you'd like a switch instead. We'd agree it's going to go down the bloody conduit. Well, yeah, but I just thought it might look better. Well, you should have stuck to what we put. It's the only time me and him have had a set to. But it doesn't come out on the key, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's okay, it's come through.
Sweet.
Thank you, Roy. I do apologise. It's better. Green's good. Blue's better, I can definitely say. And I had a window here as well, and it wasn't keying out properly when the window was open. Do you remember I used to put my arm out, and my arm used to disappear?
It did, yeah.
I'm going to do that anymore now, because there's nothing here. The TV's not here, and the return bench is not. It's over that side. So it's all and that window. When the window filled in, then the keying worked really, really well. So. New move has been great. Love me new studio. Big open space. Bit echoey, but there you go. Who's got the next story then? Oh, righty boy, look at that. Rich, you never stand a chance, man.
I know. I'm just not quick enough.
Right, he's Fast Fingers. Fast Fingers Freddy, talking Google Assistant app.
Well, I've been on this network for a long time, and I've bitched and moaned about, like, you know, personal assistants quite a lot. And don't get me started with Siri, because it's a piece of crap.
That's shit.
And it's shit. So when it was released in the US, I used my US account, and I got Google Assistant. Now, at the time that I first got it, I didn't really get into it. And I think I came on this show and said, all digital assistants are a pain in the ass, not worth the money, you know, just not worth it. Now, I've been using Google Assistant for 2-3 months now. I'll tell you what, I'll never go back. It is fast, it is accurate, it does everything I need it to do. Even though it's a Google product on an iOS device, it works brilliantly. So I've stopped using Siri completely. I've got rid of my Amazon Echo, but there is a story behind that, because I think the Amazon Echo is really good for, you know, real simple stuff like play this song, tell me the time, give me my
listen to the new show flash briefing.
Well,
listen to
the new show flash briefing. Actually, sorry, just to interrupt, Righty, because we've had a few complaints because it plays every single show that it can find. It plays the last five. Yeah, do apologise for that. Yeah. I don't know why it does that, but we are.
Does it by design? Yeah, it's by design. It's how they've set it all up.
Right. Well, we are working on how to solve that. I do promise you. Camps is on it. So yeah. We will solve it in the next couple of weeks. Please don't unsubscribe, though, because a couple of people have written and said, oh, you know, I'm so pissed off with it. I've just unsubscribed now. I'm not doing it. We are working on it. I do apologise. Sorry, anyway. Go on, right. You just thought while that came up.
So, you know, like I say, Siri has always been like the digital assistant. Since the 4S came out, I was always like, oh, this is going to be great. Oh, no, it's not. But going back to the Amazon Echo, I gave mine to my nan. Now, my nan is blind. Bless her. And she came round a few weeks ago, and my uncle, who she lived with, was in hospital. And she went, I went to bed at 5 o'clock the other night. I said, why is that? She goes, well, I can't see. I can't turn the radio on. I don't know what time it is. I don't know this. I don't know that. I said, oh, nan, take this little 35 quid buck, stick it in your house, and give it a go. And she lives and dies by that thing now.
Great for the blind, actually. I hadn't thought of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I'm actually working, I'm writing a report for the RNIB at the moment, how she's going to do it in a 6-month test. But she can ask what the weather is, what the time is. I fill a calendar in online. You know, she knows what appointment she has that day. She can say, turn on Radio Norfolk. Only she would say that. I've put my Spotify account up to it. She can say, play Daniel O'Donnell. And she said it's actually made her life so much better. Even though I went round the first time after the first week, I said, show me how you use it. Once you called it Alexis, didn't help. But every time she used it, she got up and walked across the room and like shouted at it. I said, Nan, no, you can sit in your chair and talk to her. She's like, fine. But then the thing I realised was, is she giving away some sort of privacy? And then I thought about that with the Google Assistant. Now, obviously, with Google Assistant, I'm definitely giving away my privacy because Google's, you know, calculating and working out everything that I say, everything I do. They know a hell of a lot about me. And then you look at Siri, who uses what they say, that differential privacy thing that Apple bullshits about all the time. And I'm thinking, to have a decent digital assistant, and I find Google Assistant really useful for everything that I do. So not just for timers and all that. And I'll talk about timers. Have you ever asked Siri to set a 4-minute timer?
Yeah. Yeah.
I do from my watch quite a lot.
You say, Siri, set a 4-minute timer. She says, for how long? 4 minutes.
Hang on. Hey, Siri, set a 4-minute timer.
Set a 4-minute timer.
No, set a timer for 4 minutes. That's it. Set a timer for 4 minutes.
Hey, Siri, set a timer for 4 minutes.
For 4 minutes.
Okay, 4 minutes and counting.
I will screw all of you.
Sorry.
No, I mean, the time is one of the only thing that works for me. I mean, normally it's like, how do I, hey, Tim, how do I find such and such? Just here are cinemas near you.
Yeah, exactly. But with the Google Assistant, she gets everything right every single time. And every time that someone asks me to, like, you know, they go, well, you can talk to your watch, you can talk to your phone. I show them Google Assistant now because it just works every time. But it's a really handy thing to have, but am I giving up too much to have that functionality that I need?
What are you giving up, though?
Nah, well, you're fine.
What are you giving up, actually?
Well, the question is, if I'm not giving up that much, then why are Apple saying, well, we're not going to give away your privacy and offer me a crap product?
So Google are now going to go, Jesus Christ, that bloke Righty, we're going to put that in the sun this week because we'll leak it. Because he times his tea for 4 minutes instead of five. Philistine.
No, 4.5 minutes, Jesus Christ.
Tea's five, animals. Mate. I worked at Ringtons, mate. I know, tea's five.
Oh, your tea's quite nice, actually. Yeah, you're right.
All tea's five. And I said to the bloke, what if you don't like it that strong? He said, use less tea. Oh, okay, yeah, sorry.
So what is Apple's problem then? Why, you know, when was the 4S? How many years ago was that?
2011? Apple got stung with the San Bernardino case and they hated all of that and they've just gone so far in the opposite direction that it's untrue. Because actually, in real terms, what do you really give up? My daughter gives up her maths homework every night. Yes, well done. Okay.
It's anonymized. Nobody knows. Exactly. That is Brian doing this, that, and the other on her homework.
No.
The key difference is Google are taking anonymized data and selling it and using it for various different reasons. Apple have said that they will not make any money from selling your data.
So my watch and my phone has to be crap. My watch and my phone are crap because they don't want to do the same thing. Is that what it is? Because Google Assistant, and I can't wait to get Google Assistant on my watch. Because I'll tell you what, I'll hog to Google. They can have everything I've got.
So you want them to have your data?
Well, if I'm getting a better service, and I've been using Gmail and Google Search, they know everything about me already, but I'm using a device that I carry in my pocket and on my wrist. If I want to use the inbuilt functionality of it, it's crap. So why don't I get you? Why don't Apple even give the option to do that?
So I'm lost now, Righty, because you're complaining about your safety of your nan. But actually, you want to give them everything you possibly can.
No. For my nan, I do want her safety, and I've set up the Alexa, and it's under my account, and I add the skills, and I do all that sort of thing. I'm monitoring it for her. But what I'm saying is, if I want to use Apple's inbuilt digital assistant, and they say they're all about privacy, I get no use from it. Google, who harvests all of my data, give me a better service. Which one would I rather choose? And which ecosystem would I rather be in? I'd rather be in Google's because I'm finding the digital assistant is that good. Surely all the other services that they offer me are better. Now, my iPhone is going up the shitter right now. It's phoning people. It's 3 years old. It's phoning people, you know, without me asking it to. It's cutting out. The camera dies every 5 minutes. And they've got a new iPhone coming out. And I'm thinking, well, do I get the new iPhone or do I get one of these swanky new Android phones?
And there's
that's
the
everybody's 4 minute timer. Yeah. Sorry.
go on, right? You started so you can finish. And I apologise for my belch. I thought I was on mute.
mic works.
But people get really hot about. I don't get so hot. People get really hot about this kind of data being leaked or not leaked, being leaked, being sent up to servers and being analysed. Sold to them, but you're getting I know you're the product and you're the point of sale and all this for free stuff, but I just find that Apple's kind of falling really behind on this because, you know, I've been working with Siri since 2011 and I've just stopped using it unless I want to set anything other than a 4 minute timer. You've all proved me wrong, but Google and other services seem to have it better. Why are they so behind? Because they're one of the better phones, one of the better operating systems. I get that. That's why they have me hooked. But there's certain things I want to do, and I love all this automation. And I'd love to say, you know, turn my lights off and all that. It does that fine, but if I want to do anything above that, it just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, but you've never heard me say anything other than Siri shit.
Yeah, I know. But obviously, they've taken the stand. That's got to be hurting them.
I think Apple have taken a wholesale security stand, and that spans Siri and everything else they do. And we've talked about it on previous shows, and Ewan's pretty much said, you know, if anybody out there wants to basically, we were talking about it when we were talking about Alexa in the when that first came out around. If people want to listen in and really listen to sort of my TV conversation on a night, then I've no tied there. And I'm kind of the same. Now, well, yeah, okay, I want to protect my bank details. I want to protect my address. There's certain things like that, absolutely, I want to protect. But, you know, I'm not too worried if it leaked when I ask Siri to get me the telephone number for the Chinese takeaway and things like that. Okay, it might be the way that I use Siri. I'm not bothered about how many times I use it for a timer and things like that. And same, that's pretty much similar in terms of how I use Alexa as well.
Yeah, okay.
There's definitely a line for security, but I'm not worried about some of the stuff I asked Siri if that ever got leaked. And if anybody's really bothered enough to go listening to that, then good luck to them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I am bothered, just to qualify that. You know, I'll never take the, well, I've got nothing to hide, so you can listen to what you like line, because that's not true.
Yeah, sorry.
But, I see it as a valid payoff, if you like, for what I want it for. If anonymously they want to know what I've ordered and where I've gone, fine, have it. Cool. I don't care. You know, the ones that bother me are people like Uber, because Uber are taking all your data and selling it, anonymized, admittedly, but they're actually charging you for the service and stealing your data at the same time. That's where I've got a real problem with it.
And the reports are that Uber make more money off the data than they do
They make nothing off the
driving
cars.
Yeah.
Well, they subsidize the drive, don't they?
Mm.
It's all about the data, where you went from, where you went to, why you wanted to.
So the point is, the question was, you're happy for that information that you kind of put up to the web or put on the internet? You're happy for that to be used in a certain way to get a better service?
What bothers me more than any of the assistant stuff is the fact that the keyboards that you can get for your iPhone or for your Android phone log all the keystrokes. That bothers me way
horrible.
More. Because if I log on to my bank account, it knows my PIN number.
Yeah.
It knows I started, you may not know that I've started the application, but it certainly knows the code number that I put in to get into the Barclays application. And also, I've never installed any extra keyboards on my iPhone because I'm like, when it comes up with the warning, it says this program will know what your keystrokes are.
Yeah.
Nah, stuff that. I'm sorry, you're not having that.
Yeah, they're great little intros. They go, here's your new keyboard. Please go and allow full access.
Yeah. Right now. Sod off.
They don't say what that means, do they?
Sod right off. Yeah, no. I Google Assistant. Now, it's not available, is it? Because I've just gone straight to download.
It is. I've got it.
You've got it? Yep. I can't find it.
Yeah.
Yep. UK, Germany, and France as of now.
So
I did follow a link from a website, to be fair, though.
Right. So what do I need to search? Because I've typed in Google Assistant, and it came back with Google Duo Simple Video Calling.
Ooh.
And then Google
Alarm. It might just be called Assistant. Hang on.
So I've been in about 3 months now. It's pretty... It's worth giving it a go. It's pretty hot.
Ewan, go to Slack. I think it was Matt Jim put a Verge article in there, and there's a link off from that article.
When you search Assistant, it comes up with Cortana. Anyone remember that they did that?
Oh, bless her.
Cortana was great. Cortana worked properly. See, what worries me is I type in Google and it doesn't come back in any of the Google returns. Translate, Gmail, Google Interests and Communities, Google Earth, YouTube, Google Drive, Google Calendar, PhotoScan, Google Docs, Google Street View, Google Sheets, Google Slides, Google My Business, Gboard, Google Trips, Google Classroom, Google News, SL Hangouts, here we go. Google Duo, I put in Assistant, I get nothing. I put in Google, and I get streets and streets and streets of stuff with, and it's not even at the top. Yet it's supposed to probably a Google Administrator, no, Cardboard.
Hey, you're totally right. Where is it in the UK list? It's not there.
Google Assistant is the best kept secret that Google have ever had.
They'll never give anything away because you can't install it.
So what that means is, by the time they walk away from it in 2 years, because they've just had enough of it and their OCD's kicked in, you still won't have found it.
And you've given nothing away.
So there you go. Yeah, that's how your privacy's actually insured.
You'll never find it.
You can't find the sodden app. I'm still scrolling. I can't find the bloody thing.
Yeah, I think so. I'm on the link at the minute.
I'm on the iOS 11 version of the App Store, and there is no way to view all of the apps by Google.
No. And there's loads of stuff coming up now that's not from Google Inc. It's I'm literally hundreds of apps down, 100 apps down, and I've still got nothing.
That is weird.
I'm into Netflix now. Google haven't bought Netflix, have they? Or Amazon? Or Spotify? Or WhatsApp? Or ITV? Or BBC iPlayer?
Then we're all safe then.
Shit. All right, that doesn't work then. I won't be getting Google Assistant. I'm bothered. Rich, what's your story, man?
Hang on one second. Where are we? Oh, it was already in there. Sorry, it's been a bit of a slow summer, but Microsoft have announced they're making Age of Empires 4, and I'm happy. So
I did like Age of Empires, I have to
say.
Wow. I did like Age of Empires.
It's 20 years old.
You're joking. This year, no.
Or this week, whatever. It's 20 years old.
And it's only up at version 4?
Well, yeah. They've not made any for a while. And they made, what was it? So there was Age of Empires 1, 2, then they did, was it Age of Mythology, I think, as well. And then Age of Empires 3, and then kind of, they did the online multiplayer one that nobody really liked. And now they've announced, we know they've been doing sort of a remaster of the original Age of Empires, which looks brilliant and will eat up hundreds of hours of my life. But then they announced at Gamescom the other day that they'll be doing an actual Age of Empires 4. We know nothing more about it than that, which is why it's not a great news story to have brought.
Is this going to allow you more than 50 people? Because when you got your population up to 50, I can't remember which Age of Empires it was, it just crapped out.
Oh, yeah, that would have been like the first one or something. And I imagine this will be quite impressive.
You're like, that's a great game, just completely and utterly hobbled by a sprite restriction.
Yeah. So that makes the new version all the more exciting. I'm going to have to build a gaming PC now.
No, you don't need a gaming PC for Age of Empires. You can do it on a notebook.
No. I've got no choice. I have to build a gaming PC now.
Oh, sorry.
This game.
I realise what you're saying now. Sorry, mate. Yes. Yeah. Yes, you definitely do, Rich. Mm-mm. I'll let that bit out. Don't worry.
So that's my excuse. Sorry. That is really not a great news story to have brought. There is no discussion to have had around that. I feel quite embarrassed right now.
Well, we could reminisce about the fact it was a great game. But it was all the previous editions I've ever played were really badly hobbled, so.
Well, it still took up my entire summers as a teenager. You know, other people were going outside and stuff like that. I was inside playing Age of Empires. And it got hold of my dad as well. There were, you know, for years afterwards, I'd sort of call home for a chat once I'd sort of moved out, gone to uni. And in the background, you could always hear the little horn blow of my dad's army being taken off to war, which was, you know,
the little hornblow of dad's army being taken off to war.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. And the sounds of home, all very reassuring and that sort of thing.
And then you used to build a wonder, didn't you? When you built a wonder, if you kept it going for 1,000 years, that was it. You won.
Yeah, that was one way of getting victory. Yeah. So you'd be looking out for someone else doing it in case you had to go and smash them in. Wonderful times. And playing multiplayer with cables from one PC to another, because that was the only way you could do it. Oh, I remember we had to have them running out of my bedroom window and down the front of the house for a bit.
Do you know what the best bit of that story is? That's really quite alarming as well. Is that 1997 was 20 years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't start that.
No, it is. I turned
50. I know it was.
I turned 50 last week, and that's kind of like, someone said to me, what's 50 like? I said 40 with joint pain. It's not different. But 97 is because I can guarantee I got married in 97. So that's 20 years ago. Actually, it's 20 years ago. Bloody hell.
I was still at uni. I can't remember.
It's on. Ellis has turned 14.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
We've had to have the conversations about, don't do this, mate. It'll ruin your life.
Oh, you did that too, did you? Did you get the look?
Stick to, I'll show me yours if you show me mine. Show you mine if you show me yours. That'll do.
The thing is, you do that. You do the talk, and the kids look at you, and they're like, "And?" Don't they? They're like, "Tell me something new."
Oh no, it's just I give up. I give up. I'm too old. There you go. Good story, Rich.
Thanks.
It's not a debate show. Now then,
yeah.
I haven't got a story. I haven't brought one because I haven't read any tech. I have literally been on the train at 5 o'clock in the morning, going down, sorting out the cameras, and then coming back or sitting there and shooting video and that kind of stuff. So I've had no real tech knowledge at all. But we've got some big announcements coming up. First one, there's a new show coming. There's a brand new show coming. And we were going to call it the Coding Cretin, but we stepped back and we're going to call it the Hello World Show. And basically, it's going to be Anders. Now, if you don't know Anders, Anders is one of the backroom boys. He keeps the server running with Wheaters and that kind of stuff. And he's also a guy that's helped me with the Sentry system that we've got that he and I use around businesses and stuff. And he's an absolute Python ninja. He is going, and now I know nothing. I mean, I did okay in basic. I get 1.0 CLS, 2.0 print you and ranking, 3.0 go to 1.0. And it flickers like it's going to give you epilepsy. But, you know, that's as far as I ever really got. I did some cool stuff, but not a lot. So I get the idea of sequences and that kind of stuff. But Anders, every week, me and him are going to have a phone conversation for an hour that we're going to record. And he is going to teach me to code in Python on the Mac.
Oh, mate.
Okay, that's it. That's the whole thing. And it's unedited, completely unedited. We'll try and keep it as clean as we can so we can get kids involved as well, because it'd be good for them. But I am a Muppet. I know nothing about coding effectively. And Anders is going to spend the next few weeks trying to get me up to the point where I can do something reasonably competent. It's going to be a great show, I think. I might get nothing at the end of it, but we're going to do 1 hour unedited, one phone conversation, start to finish, and that is going to be the whole show. So if you don't code and you want to learn along, you can listen to it. I went and saw one of the guys in the Slack group today, Adam, and he said, oh, that'd be great. I don't do any code, and I'd love to listen to that. So there you go. You sit and listen along, and you just do the stuff that we do, and we check syntax and that kind of stuff. And there'll be a video version of it as well, so you can get screen captures of what we're actually doing on the screens and stuff like that. But that'll be the Coding Cretin. Me. Ish. We've also got a ton of stuff coming up. We've got Uniku. Did you see our Uniku video, chaps?
Yes. Yeah, brilliant video.
I went up to Wrexham and I got my whole fitting done. They gave me, that's me with my driving glasses on, but those are Uniku frames that you can see in the front there. At the moment, there's something like 60-odd frames that you can choose from, so plenty to look at. There's three collections and each collection's got 18 or 20 in it. You get your little face zapped, and then it gives you a 3D reticule, and this is a medical grade 3D rendering. It is absolutely perfect. You know, all the flaws in your skin and all your stubble and that kind of stuff all shows through, and even your double chin look there on that one. And it fits the glasses to you, so you say, okay, well, I don't like the look of those, I want them a little bit lower, and then it goes off and it reprocesses and it pushes them lower. And the idea of Uniku is it sets the lens in the exact position that you need for optimum visual performance. And if there's anything that the optometrist puts in that says, oh, I want the lenses to be this wide, if that compromises the sitting of the lens, Uniku goes, nope, not going to allow you to do that. Not having that at all. You can't do it. And it makes sure that the lens position is never, ever compromised. And then when you've got them sorted and they're all worked out, they are 3D printed by a company called Materialize, and you get them back and you wear them, and they are only for you. They've got your initial on the inside of them. They are that exclusive. And it's a brilliant, brilliant system. I can't wait to get mine back. Mine will be back in time for the formal launch in the UK, which is the 16th. So, and I'm going to that. I'm actually speaking at it as well, which is ridiculous. no clue what I'm going to say. But they're awesome. So please check out Hoyer. If you still want just the Advantex like we've got here, you can still get those. Just walk into your local opticians. Excuse me, do you do Hoyer lenses? They go, no, we don't. They go, it's a shame, and walk away. And apparently they still get one call a month from opticians going, someone walked in and said, do you do Hoyer lenses? And when we said no, they said, that's a shame, and walked away. And they get one lead a month from you guys doing that. We're the only ones that are doing it, so it has to be BTNers, plain and simple, which is really, really cool. So keep that going, and thanks to their support, we love Hoyer. They look after us. We like them a lot. And also then UK2, they look after us even more. They've got all the servers that we do everything on. We've got the 100dB server, which does the live broadcasts. If you want online servers, they've got some cracking deals on SSDs at the moment, super fast SSDs. Up to a terabyte, and they're very reasonably priced. So check out our website, and there's some banners on those for the SSDs. BritishCentralNetwork.com/sponsors if you want the offer codes, /UK2 if you just want to sign into your account, and they know then that you're a returning BTN customer. And take a chance to just tweet out to them and to Hoyer saying thanks for your support. That would be really cool. Now, do you remember that we did a spider competition?
Yes.
You could win a Spider 5 for your computer with the Spider 5 Express software, and you could calibrate your monitor. There you go. Well, that was won by Richard Cook.
Nice.
Yeah, but Richard Cook hasn't written in and told me his address and claimed his prize. No, exactly.
You know my address.
So, Richard Cook, if you're listening, and you're not going to win this unless you are a listener, you can't be just one of these Johnny-come-latelys via Twitter. If you write in and say, I'm Richard Cook, and I know your address, so you can't cheat, by the way, writing. Here's my address. I won the Spider 5 thing. Then we'll send it to you. But if you don't do it by the time we get into next week's show on Friday, then I'm sorry. I'm going to get someone else to win it. This is your last chance, mate. You've got 7 days to get in touch and tell me that you are the Spider 5 winner. And if you don't, tough. It's going to someone else. You've got to be a listener. You've got to be in it to win it. So there you go. And there'll be another Spider 5 competition starting next week, and then we've got another one the following month. So it's going to be awesome. And we're also kind of done and dusted with Patreon a little bit, because they keep shafting us, or shafting you, because they keep taking away your donations. You signed up for a £3 a month donation, or a, you know, a $5 a month, or a $25 a month donation. They've been cutting those, or PayPal have been cutting those off, because they're not PayPal standing orders. And Patreon don't chase them, and if you don't know, then we don't get the funds from it. The Patreon donations that we get are what pay for the news show to be done. We pay Kyle every month to do the news show every single day, and he does it religiously. He's brilliant. Thursdays he struggles with because of commuting and stuff like that, so that's fair enough. If we lose that donation, then we will lose the news show, plain and simple. So what you can do is we've got a new PayPal address. It's paypal.me/British Tech. Or is it British Tech Network? British Tech, I think. It's on the website. There's a big PayPal sign. Click on that. You can set up a standing order in PayPal to say, right, here's what I would have given in Patreon. Cancel your Patreon donation and set the same amount up in PayPal. Number one, we'll get more of the money. Thank you very much. And number two, it will never cancel, so you haven't got to worry about whether it's going to lapse or anything like that. So paypal.me/British Tech, and you will be supporting the network directly. And without that support, we wouldn't be able to afford some of the stuff that we've done. You know, you guys paid for the five Mac minis that we've got. If we don't keep that going, if we don't get the money in that we've lost through having Patreon now, we won't get to keep the new show, plain and simple as that. Please, please, please. So what we're going to do is every first of the month on the show, we're not going to badger you constantly every single show for this. What we'll do is in the show nearest to the first of the month, we'll remind you that the first of the month is Donations Day, plain and simple. So on Donations Day, the first of the month, go to your PayPal account and donate what you want to give to BTN and say thanks for doing all the shows or whatever it is. And if you don't want to put everything, that's fine. It's okay. But we're also going to look at a kind of a section of the website, which is donators only through that paypal.me thing, so you'll get exclusive content that no one else gets because you do the donation through paypal.me/British Tech. So Donations Day is the 1st of September. It's coming up soon. Make sure you swap everything over from Patreon into paypal.me, and thanks for everyone who has donated. We've got a lot of people who have donated an awful lot of money over the years to keep us going, and we do appreciate it. It's absolutely brilliant. Right, Cool things. Camps, start us off, mate.
Okie dokie. Mine is Strava. I think with Strava, we have mentioned Strava in shows for one reason or another before. Strava is...
Right, we're gonna do an experiment here while you're doing your pick, Camps.
Go on.
I'm going to go to the loo.
All right, okay. Go for it. Have you muted?
I'm muted, mate. I'm walking through good. I'm walking through a completely dark universe, actually.
Good, good. We don't want a real live stream as such.
All the lights are out in the workshop. That doesn't work.
So Strava is, I suppose, if you're a runner, if you're a cyclist, you've probably already heard of Strava. You basically from your, whether you're using the Strava on your Apple Watch or your Garmin, your Polar, any of your other fitness wearables, you can sync the information of that run, that ride, straight back into Strava. And that allows you to collate and keep a track on your training, various challenges and things like that are going on each month. But the thing that I'm really getting out of this, we've talked about it before. I've got into my running again this year. And I joined a running club last week, and as part of that, I've kind of got more followers, and I'm following more people now on Strava. So we all do it on Twitter and Facebook and the various other social media platforms. What I'm getting out of Strava now is a lot more interaction from people that I'm running with. A lot of the, you know, well done, good run. Have you tried doing this? Have you tried doing that? And picking up tips from a lot of people who are runners out there. So I think the social media platform, primarily for running and cycling, for me, I'm getting loads out of Strava right now. So if you're a listener and you're a runner or a cyclist and you've not looked at Strava, give it a go. There's a free version, or you can jump on board the premium version as well. There's various offers for sort of 1 month, 3 month pre-premium experience voucher codes and whatnot out there. But yeah, definitely give it a go. I'll be writing up a review and putting that on the BTN site in the next week or so. But yeah, I'm really liking Strava.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much. Now, do you remember I recommended the light switches that came on that they were powered with big D cell batteries, but I hadn't changed the batteries in like 2 years in the cupboard? Remember those?
Yeah.
Since I moved out the old studio, I think, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with these now because I've got lights everywhere. I've just figured out what I'm going to do with them. They're all going up in there.
Because I can't pass to the loo.
I can't see a sodding thing trying to go to the loo. It worked, though. I heard the whole thing that you said there, Camps, all the way up to the urinal and back. It was brilliant. Didn't technology matter? What a marvellous age we live in.
Thankfully, you could hear us and we couldn't hear you.
Yeah, no. I'm sure I'll forget at some point. Good pick, mate. Rich, what have you got for us, man?
Right, I have a computer game, which again I think is the opposite of what's just been recommended. This will keep you sat on the sofa for quite some time. This week we've seen the launch of Sonic Mania, which has been a long time coming. I think people have said something like it's been 20 plus years since we've had a decent Sonic the Hedgehog game, and this is one. And Sonic partnered with fans who've made levels and enhanced levels and done all sorts of things like that. And they finally come out with an absolutely spectacular Sonic the Hedgehog game. It's like playing it on the Mega Drive, but better and yet still the same. And it messes up with your memories of how good the Mega Drive version was in the first place. It's quite odd that you find yourself looking at it thinking, wasn't it always like this? And of course it wasn't at all, but for a digital download, I think it was $15.99. You can get it on every gaming platform. If you have been a fan of Sonic the Hedgehog, this is so worth your time. I can't recommend it enough. Sonic Mania. Probably avoid that collector's edition that's 80 quid and just has a big plastic hedgehog in it, but the download of the game is fantastic.
It's very in keeping with the original, isn't it? I mean, it looks like they've just transcoded the original stuff and coined it.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and you don't really catch on right away as to how much better it is than the originals graphically, but it just sort of seeps into you, and you realise it looks fantastic. It's an absolutely gorgeous game, just done in that style.
Do you know what? When you started doing this, I was kind of like, I wish I'd gone to the toilet during this pick and not camps. But actually, it's awesome. I'm really impressed by the trailer.
It's just a cracking little game.
It is.
I think it's very much worth the money if you're a Sonic fan, or if you just want something a bit different to play, because it's, you know, let's face it, it's been a while since there's been anything like this around. It's definitely worth it. $15.99. So it's,
and you say all platforms. So because I was thinking, if I get this for Ellis for his PS4 or something, that opens up a whole new world for him, and he's like, God, this is brilliant. And you're like, well, I was playing that, mate, 30 years ago.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's out on PS4, Xbox, and Switch.
Excellent.
So, oh, and PC. Although I think I heard the PC version might have been delayed a couple of weeks. Not sure. No, but it's definitely out on all the others right now, and it is well worth a look.
Well impressed. Well impressed, mate. Great pick. I like that. I could be £15 lighter tonight. Plus the £55 that Doc cost me for that frigging trigger thing from Behringer. Bastard. Righty, what have you got for us, mate? Bearing in mind, you sound like you're on mute. But there's a microphone picking you up, but it's not your main microphone. You're away and echoey.
Oh, that's...
New studio.
Oh, I'm there. Is it better?
You're definitely quieter. It's not as effective as it was.
Oh. That's all. I'll struggle the best I can. I can't work out. We talked about Chromebooks earlier. So I got this for my daughter the other day. So this is the Acer Chromebook 11. Got it for her GCSEs. So she has something that she could, you know, do her work on, all that sort of stuff. Brilliant little device. Like I say, size of a MacBook Air. It's got 2 gig of RAM. It's got 16 gig of storage on it. You get 100 gig of Google Cloud storage on there. Works absolutely brilliantly. The only thing that pisses me off is I bought it last week for £200, and this week they knocked £50 off the price. They're £149 right now.
That's bad.
I know. I'm not that happy. She laughed at me. I was like, yeah, okay, fine.
But she laughed because it wasn't her £50.
Exactly. If you're looking for a great little laptop, just, you know, so your kids can do all their work on it, that sort of thing. And the one thing that really interests me about it, she said to me, she went to the GIMP webpage, you know, the graphics program. I said, you can't download that. It's a Windows or a Mac program. But apparently there's a Chrome version.
Yeah, no, GIMP's universal.
Yeah, but the other thing that made my heart sink is when she grabbed the Wacom tablet I bought and plugged it into a Chromebook. I went, oh, God, this is not going to work. Works perfectly.
Yeah.
So, absolutely brilliant little laptop. £149 right now. So, if you're looking for something that, you know, they could drop or lose or whatever, just better than buying something like a Mac that costs you like £800.
If you're looking for something that they can drop or lose, wait a week and get the cheaper one.
Yeah, unlike me.
And, righty, did you buy it from Amazon?
No.
Because you could have returned it and got the new one cheaper, yeah.
Yeah, I know. My heart sank.
I bought some Bose headphones a couple of years ago, and I went online with them. They dropped similar sort of thing. It was about a £50 drop. I just went onto Amazon and said, look, not happy with this. I'm going to return these and I want to buy them again. And the guy at the other end just said, look, I'm going to save you the messing around. I've just refunded you £50 or whatever it was. You were close enough. They were awesome at doing it.
I've spent the last 3 weeks fighting with Vodafone because we've got Vodafone dongles in all the cameras, and we've bought extension TS9 9 decibel antennas and put all those in the boxes, and they've made a massive difference. But it's just like you buy a bundle and it's supposed to roll over and it doesn't roll over. And every morning, one of the cameras has gone down and I'm sitting there fighting with some technician, asking some stupid questions like, what's your memorable word? I never set up a memorable word. Okay, the hint's alarm. You can't give me a hint for a word I've never set up, mate. Have you not thought about this? and then you look at what Amazon provide and you're like, it's streets different. It is effortless in comparison. They are brilliant. Totally agree, Camps. Well done. Amazon are the best customer service going. And it gets better with the more that you spend with them as well. My cool thing, I'm wearing it. Because I think it's performed really... Have you guys, apart from me belch, have you guys heard me much tonight?
No.
Yeah.
I was worried about the rustle and all that kind of stuff with it, because I've got a new mic to try. This is the Sennheiser W100 G3 system, which I bought, because my old Sony UDP system was clapped out. And I thought, I'll get this. But what I'm going to get is I'm going to get the cardioid mic, which gets rid of all the background echo and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's kind of worked tonight. It's been all right. And I was worried about the sound off my shirt, but it hasn't picked that up too badly. And I'm really impressed. My mute switch works, only the problem is the twat that's using the mute switch doesn't work particularly well, which is why you've heard me belch earlier on. But I'm really impressed with it. Bad news is, it's £699 for the basic system, but for that, you do get a transmitter and a receiver. You also get an XLR transmitter, which keys out pretty well, actually, in here. So it's semi-transparent, so it's good for hidden shots. And the additional microphone, the cardioid microphone, was £90 extra, so or £109, actually, with the VAT. So there you go. It's just the £800.
Ouch.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is rather good. And my old system's crapped out. I was using it this week, and the guy I had it on was about 20 yards away, and I could hear it crackling in the background. I'm like, nah, it's gone. The one of the antennas has got tweaked or something like that. So I need this.
Well, you do, because then it allows you to wee while we talk.
Well, that's kind of the fringe benefit. I'm hoping that this will actually just do better on site, because it is for work. It's not for... Not for BTN. BTN funds have not paid for this, by the way. I've paid for this. But my old system's crapped out. But I thought I'll use it for BTN and see what it's like. But I'm really impressed. There's not a lot of rustle with it at all. It's done pretty well. So there you go. It's the Sennheiser W100 G3 system from CVP. Where can we get a hold of you, mates? Camps?
Camping UK on Twitter. You can see us on Instagram now, British Tech Network. And I'm writing reviews again at britishtechnetwork.com/reviews.
You've got a pile of stuff to review.
Yeah, I've been busy. I've been talking to people. I've got some review units in. I've been reviewing them over the last couple of weeks. Within the next 2 weeks, I'll have finished doing that, and I'll get some reviews, some exercise related wearables all going on. So yeah.
Excellent, mate. Brilliant job. Thank you very much. Rich, where are you?
I'm over at simplysyndicated.com. I will take this opportunity to plug a new podcast that we started this week.
Yeah,
and in fact invite you all on, because it's called Random Access Memories, in which I interview a person about their personal gaming history.
Oh, I'm in. So, I'm in.
There you go. Everybody wants in. So Nice. Everybody's welcome. There's one up on the website already. I got another one recorded just before the show started as well. So it's underway. Go and check that out.
Yeah, let me know when you need me, mate. I'm right there.
Will do.
Love it. And Righty Boy.
Does that mic sound still?
It's not brilliant. No, it's you sound further away. It sounds like you're not on that mic from earlier. But you are.
I wonder if you're on your headphone mic.
Yeah, it says on that anyway. On Twitter, mate, at Paulum's, over at BTN doing the reviews with camps, we've got a load more stuff coming up, and thanks to Wheaton so much for building a new website when I've effed it up.
Well, we haven't told anyone that, mate.
Nobody knew.
It is a good excuse, wasn't it?
Well, you highlighted some weaknesses.
Yeah, but if I log in, I screw the whole thing up.
Yeah,
we have a lovely new website. It's absolutely fantastic, and like I say, doing the review with camps and that, and on a Sunday, doing Take It or Leave It over at Syndicated with Rich.
Excellent, mate.
Just on the back of that, for everyone listening, go in and have a look at the new website and share it on Twitter and Facebook and the rest of the social media platforms. We really want to get people looking at the website. That's where the reviews, the blog posts are all going to be. So please share the link out there.
Yeah, no, excellent. I mean, it really is a good job. It was kind of forced upon us because Wrighty did have a bit of a moment.
All right.
But then we did question, well, hang on, should anyone have that ability, you know, that kind of power to take the thing down in an instant? But Wheat has responded because he was sitting on the train and had nothing to do.
Bless him.
He sorted it out. Well done, Wheaters. Good job, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow us at British Tech on Twitter as well as. New show happens every single day from Carl Swagger. Please, please, please support us because without that support, the new show will go away. We can't afford to pay for it. Simple as that. So please follow on the support from Patreon and keep it going for us. We're back again next Friday. We'll have shows as normal. Mac Show 4 p.m, Big Show 8 p.m. And we're back. Yes, summer is over. Our recess is finished. Thanks for listening.